Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to speak with the good folks from Kaiser Permanente. Did I pronounce that right?
You did.
Good. John Patrick, been a guest long time. Seven, 8 years?
Probably six.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Time flies. Anyway, John is the director of the Federal Employees Health Benefit Plan Program for Kaiser.
That's correct.
Boy, that's a long-winded intro. And Dr. Amy Benulis,
Benulis.
Benulis. Okay. OBGYN with Kaiser Permanente. Good
that's
morning.
Right. Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Well, thanks for y'all coming in. So let's start out. How many plans does Kaiser offer to the feds? And what is, maybe we should do this from the top. I'm sure some know, but let's make sure everybody knows. What is an HMO versus not an HMO?
Well, it's a health maintenance organization, and Kaiser Permanente is a little bit different than most HMOs. We actually have our own facilities with our own physician network, and that's what makes us very different than the rest of the HMOs that are in the market. We currently have two plans in the market, and we're in 8 different regions. So we are nationally or regional, but across the country in Mid-Atlantic, so D.C., Virginia, and Maryland. We're in Georgia. We're also in Colorado, Oregon, California, and Hawaii.
And California, we've got a lot of California, right?
We do. We do. We're our largest region is definitely California with over 7 million, 8 million members.
Okay. And for the folks listening, I was fortunate enough to tour the facilities on Capitol Hill. And it was just like a hospital, but it was, you explain it. It was like one-stop shopping. That's what impressed me.
Yeah. Well, we have over 30 centers across the region here in the Mid-Atlantic state specifically. And 5 of those centers are multi-specialty centers that we refer to as hubs. The Capitol Hill Center is one of our hubs that you got to go through. It has most services under that one roof, as it has all services under one roof. The hubs have urgent care that's open 24 hours a day, along with labs, radiology, and pharmacy that are all open 24 hours a day. So it's very unique, and those hubs are located in Capitol Hill, Tysons Corner, Gaithersburg, Southeast Baltimore, and our newly renovated Largo. And I'm actually going to ask Amy to share a little bit more about information on our hubs.
Yeah, so the hubs are locations where all the specialty care is located in addition to primary care. When you walk into our hub to see your PCP, your primary care physician, if there are other things that you need that day, usually same day, you can get in, you can get your mammogram done, you can potentially see a specialist or at least have a phone consult with that specialist same day. If you need to pick up your prescription, if you need to go to the lab, all of those things are available to you. So it's really very convenient and efficient for our patients. And then the smaller centers that we have kind of feed into those hubs. So I'm actually at one of our smaller centers in Northwest DC. There we have primarily primary care, but at all of our centers, we do have lab and pharmacy and usually radiology as well. But if I have a patient, for instance, who needs to see a specialist and they're not on site, we can either get a referral for them to go see that physician there. Or often even same day, we can do a phone consult with a patient and get the specialist on the phone and figure out what the next step is from there. Really everything kind of feeds into those hubs and makes for really efficient care and really good communication between physicians as well.
So what's unique about everything Amy's talking about and everything being convenient and easy to use under one location is that all of those services are connected through an electronic medical record. So our physicians are connected with our specialists, which are connected with the pharmacy, which are connected with the labs, which are connected with the radiology. It's all connected together. And that's why Amy was saying we can often refer a member to a specialist in the same day, next day. But on average, we refer our members to specialists within 7 days. We can do that because physicians like Amy can pull up the specialist calendar right in front of the patient in the exam room and book the appointment with the specialist right there and then. It's a very unique technology.
Tammy Flanagan and I toured together. Tammy is, of course, Tammy, but she's also the co-host of the show. And, you know, we were just kind of impressed that that computer had all those capabilities. Now, with regards to Kaiser, I'm sure it's no different than any other plan. There are different plans within the plan. So it's an HMO plan, but it's got subsets of what somebody would want. It's kind of, again, like any other program. Do I want this, or do I want a deductible that, or do I want... How does all that work?
Yeah, okay. So we have two options within our health plan. There's a high option and a standard option. And it's actually really easy. Both options,
good.
Yeah, it really is easy. There's zero deductible on either option. Both options have all the same benefits. The difference is about managing your money. The high option costs a little bit more to have, but less to use. So when you go to the doctor, you only pay $10. And the standard option costs a little less to have and a little bit more to use. So it costs $20 when you go to the doctor. So you know, if you're looking at the two plans and you're trying to make a decision on which plan's best for you, if you use health insurance a little bit more often, you might like the high option. If you use it less often, you might like the standard option. But with zero deductible and mostly co-pays for services, you can look at your costs and you can know what you're going to pay when you go to see a doctor or get a lab. And all preventive care is $0 as well.
Now, does the high deductible hook in with a high deductible health care savings plan?
Well, we don't have any high deductibles at all with ours. So,
that answered that. All right, advantages of one option over the other. Who would gravitate in your statistical analysis of one versus the other? Is it a younger person, a middle aged person?
Well, it's an interesting question because the answer to that as far as age is concerned, I don't think there's a good answer because I really think it depends on the person's specific need and their conditions or health condition. So you can have younger sick people and you can have healthy older people. So it really comes down to if you use it healthcare more often, that high option is going to be better fit for you. If you use healthcare less often, that standard option is going to be better for you. And in fact, the standard option is the lowest priced HMO available to federal employees this year.
Okay, good. Now, you mentioned that there were several different, if you will, hubs around the country. So can anybody listening, and they do listen outside the Beltway, they can join those just as easily as they can join here, correct? They're just federal employees.
Yep. As in those different regions that I mentioned, you can join Kaiser Permanente in any of those regions. And those regions all also have medical centers in most of their areas.
Okay, so it was kind of like the one that we were just talking about that we, Tammy and I, had the pleasure to tour.
Yep.
You walk in and pulls up on the screen. I guess you talk to the general practitioner and then they can say, oh, you ought to see X, Y, and Z. That was kind of neat.
Yeah, it is. It's impressive. And in fact, Dr. Tesserero, the day that he had taken you for that tour, when he pulled up on a orthopedic surgeon to do a referral, he was able to see that there was one available in 15 minutes and in 30 minutes. It's really impressive technology, especially when you consider that, the national average to see a specialist is 27 days. And our average is 7 days. And the fact that you can even see them in the same day is really impressive. And when Amy was talking earlier about the phone consult, it's impressive technology, and it can save you a copay too. Amy, I'll let you go ahead and give an example of how you were able to do a phone consult with a patient.
Yeah. So one example I had, I'm an OBGYN, so obviously I'm taking care of a lot of pregnant women. And I had a pregnant woman who was in her third trimester come to see me for a routine visit. And she said, you know, by the way, I had these strange symptoms a couple of days ago, and they were neurologic symptoms. So she had some strange numbness and tingling. You know, and I said, I'm not sure if there's anything serious going on here, but let's get the neurologist's input. And again, I'm at a smaller medical center. I didn't have a neurologist at my center, but I got on the phone while the patient was still in the room, conferenced in the neurologist, and we had a three-way conversation. She described all of her symptoms, and then we were able to order appropriate imaging studies. He wanted to do an MRI, so I booked her for the MRI. She actually, you know, had that scheduled before she left the office. And then we scheduled a follow-up consultation to see that neurologist for a few days later. So it was great. We, you know, we had a plan. She was able to speak with the neurologist and get a lot of the evaluation done up front before she even, you know, saw him in the office. And she was really impressed by that. It was great.
So that's a great example of some of the technology and how it's able to get our members that care faster and in a way, in a quality way. I'm going to ask Amy to share another example of some of our other technology too that's built into the medical record system that's really unique in nature. And it's about what we do with preventive care. So we have what we call an in-reach program and an outreach program. And our physicians are able to pull up their panel and see who hasn't gotten a mammogram and give that list to their nurse to reach out to those people and try and schedule those mammograms. That's our outreach program. And our in-reach program is anytime a member comes into one of our medical centers for any kind of service, it could be to see an ophthalmologist. When they pull up the medical record, if they're overdue for a screening, it shows up on their medical record in yellow right there and then that so-and-so is overdue for their mammogram. And that person that pulled up their medical record will ask them and engage them right there and then to say, hey, we see that you're overdue here. Let's get you scheduled for that mammogram. It's very important to us and keeping people up with their preventive care measures. And I'm going to throw it back to Amy again to give an example of how that's worked for our members.
Yeah. So, I mean, really all of our physicians are very dedicated to taking care of the whole patient. So regardless of the reason the patient comes in for a visit, even if it's a very limited issue, we pull up the chart and we can see every health screening that that patient may be due for. So I may be seeing a patient just for a routine PEP, but, you know, wow, they haven't had their cholesterol checked and that will pop up. Or, you know, they're due for the colon cancer screening and I can take care of that for them that day. And again, as John was referring to, I can kind of keep track of all of my own patients. We can run reports of people who might be overdue for certain health screenings. So it's great. I mean, pretty much any time I see a patient who's due, for instance, for a mammogram, I can get them booked for a mammogram within 10 minutes of the end of their appointment with me. So it's great. So someone who otherwise may have left the office and kind of put it on the back burner and forgotten about it for another 6 months, instead of that, I say, hey, do you have an extra 15 minutes today? Let's just get your mammogram done. So it's really, it's great. It's we can take much better care of our patients with that technology.
All righty. Let's say somebody's either with you all or considering joining you all. I'm not Southern. I was born in Maryland, though, or D.C. Anyway, so if they were to travel and they were in a city that didn't have a hub or didn't have anything, what happens in that case?
That's a great question, and this falls under FEHBP. In all plans, everybody is covered 24 hours a day worldwide for emergency services. So in any case of an emergency, regardless of where they are, they're going to be covered.
Okay, and by whoever would provide the service.
That's right.
It's not necessary.
If Kaiser Permanente would take care of the cost. You'd pay your copay for your emergency services, but you can get care. You can receive care anywhere in the world.
And I heard you're worldwide, right?
That's correct.
Let's say that one more time.
Worldwide coverage.
Okay. Probably should open up the phones. We're at 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. For those listening to the show other than November 18th, don't call after 10:58. We're live right now. So if you're listening to other than November 18th at after 10:58, don't call. But you can email us, and we'll talk about the email in a bit. Again, 202-465-3080.
You know, Bob, you had mentioned earlier, talked earlier about our health plans, and I had mentioned the two options, the high and the standard option. And the fact that our standard option is the lowest priced HMO in the federal health employee benefits plan, and that's important. Price is important, and the benefits are important. But OPM does a really great job at making sure federal employees have rich benefits, regardless of which health plan you're with. So when people are shopping for healthcare, it is important to look at the price, and it's important to look at the cost of using it, so the co-pays, the co-insurance, the deductibles if people have them. Those are important factors. But federal employees know that they're going to have good coverage regardless of which health plan they are on. There are other factors that often are forgotten that I think are really important factors to choosing your health care. Things like quality and things like service. There's third parties out there in the industry that measure quality and service of organizations. You're probably familiar with one of them, J.D. Power.
Yeah, I think I've heard that. And what do they have? The kind of like PRISM Award?
That's right.
Yeah.
And most people associate them with cars, right? But they actually do measure customer satisfaction in many different industries, and insurance being, healthcare being one of them. And they've actually ranked Kaiser Permanente number one in the mid-Atlantic states for customer satisfaction for the past 5 years in a row. So an important thing to be considering when you're choosing your healthcare, because you want to make sure you're getting good service. But as important, or maybe even more importantly than the service, is the quality. And there's an organization, a third-party organization, that is the measuring stick for quality of health plans across the country. They're called NCQA, the National Accreditation for Quality Assurance. They measure almost 500 health plans. And they come up with a list of HEDIS scores, their measurements. So an example of a single measurement might be breast cancer screenings, where you get scored on the number of women in your health plan that have gotten their mammograms. And then they do that for each measure. They add up all those measures, and they come up with a total for your health plan. And then they list all the health plans in order of quality. And if you go onto NCQA's website, you'll be able to see where your health plan falls under that quality score and list. And you'd see that Kaiser Permanente is actually, of the Mid-Atlantic states, is ranked 16th in the nation at delivering quality care.
What's NCU whatever?
NCQA, National Accreditation for Quality Assurance.
Okay.
So great website to go to. Quality should be a very important factor to choosing your health care. And it's a great resource. And in fact, I do want to mention that there are a couple of those, five of those, quality scores or HEDIS scores, that added up to the total. One of them, the breast cancer screenings, we ranked number one in the nation, Mid-Atlantic State, Kaiser Permanente, the Mid-Atlantic State ranked number one in the nation. And then we also ranked number one in the nation at childhood immunization. So, we're very proud of that. And a lot of that happens because of the technology that we were talking about earlier.
Okay, two questions. One was actually an email question, and the other one, to be fair, you provide me with some questions to ask, and I have some that I ask on my own. But I thought this was particularly impressive that you would put this down as a question. And here goes. What is your biggest piece of advice for people during this time? We're talking about the open season, that they have the right to retain whatever plan they have or to buy a new one. That's a sobering question coming from somebody that's really representing one. So what's your best advice?
Do your due diligence and shop. Make sure you look at what your rate increase is going to be. It's unfortunate, but a lot of people don't. In FEHBP, we've done studies, and OPM's done studies, and we've seen the results of those studies, and 70% of federal employees haven't shopped. They stick with the plan that they're with. it's important to even look at the changes for your current plan. Look at what the benefit changes were. Look at what the cost sharing is, if that's changed. And look at the premium. Because if you don't take the time to look at those things, come January 15th, when you get your first paycheck in the new year, you could be pretty surprised at the rate increase by your current plan. So it's really, really important to do your due diligence and make sure you look at the changes to your own plan, and then look at what other options are out there. And again, you know, great lead into the, I guess, what I had just said earlier. Know that the plans have good benefit coverage. So the essentials are there. If you're going to the hospital, you're covered. If you go in the emergency room, if you're covered, know that your plans have good coverage. It's looking at the premium you're going to pay and then the cost that you're going to pay for using that plan. And then look at those other important factors like quality and service, and make sure that your plan ranks highly in delivering quality care and good service.
Okay. All right, here's a price point question, and this came in our email. By the way, our email is foryourbenefit@nitpinc.com. foryourbenefit@nitpinc.com. It operates 24/7, and we answer benefit questions or finance questions or tax questions or legal questions in general for anybody at any time. But for the show, we'll bring them in and ask live of the guest. All righty. So this email came in from somebody in Southern California, and I'll read it. I'm a retired federal employee who retired nearly a year ago. I have Kaiser in Southern California, family high option, under the FEHB, and have had it for my 31 years of federal employment. My 2014 costs are jumping from $299 a month to $353 a month. Can you explain why the largest increase that I've seen in 32 years? And it, I'll leave it at that. Let's go there, and then I'll read the rest of it, because it's more than a few sentences. So there was a jump in the higher than what has been experienced in this person's history. And it's, like you said, it's not insignificant. It's what, 1/6, about 17%.
It's 18. Yeah, it's 18%.
Okay. Yep. All right, good. Thank you.
Sure. Not funny for this person, though. It's the rate increase in Southern California. And I am not from Southern California, but I do have some knowledge of our different regions. So I can speak a little bit to this. And the rate increase for Southern California was 9%. What happens is OPM covers up to 75% of the employer contribution up to a certain dollar amount. And if your plan premium is over that dollar amount, that money goes right to the employee, because that extra cost falls onto the employee. In that case of the high option in Southern California under the family rate, that is what happened. That premium for Kaiser Permanente to OPM is over the cap. So the employee saw more than a 9% increase and actually saw an 18% increase in the family plan. What I do know is that even though that is a fairly significant increase, it's still competitive with other like plans in that market. But what contributed to that increase are things like higher utilization within FEHBP in Southern California. And also, I believe approximately 40% of that population are retirees. So the more the plan gets used, the more they need to raise the rate to offset the cost of the utilization that's occurring. And also, and this happened with all plans, there was a 2% tax credit for Healthcare Reform Act that was passed through to everybody too. So that didn't help. But there is also another option for that employee if with Kaiser Permanente. We have a high and standard option in all regions. So they're on the high option right now and saw that 18% increase. They can always consider choosing that standard option too and moving to that.
Okay. And then this second part mirrors somewhat of what you said. I called the local Kaiser office, and I was told that it was because of Obamacare. Now, I have trouble seeing the connection. I'm reading the email. After all, the FEHB has never excluded anyone from pre-existing conditions. A couple of years ago, the age for dependents was raised to 26, but rates did not jump. Additionally, the media tells us that the young are sought by Obamacare since they are typically the healthy ones and not a drain on the system. I think you already answered that, but I had to read the question.
Yep, fair enough.
And then the last part of the question. I realize that your guest is with Kaiser on the East Coast, but we might have some insights into my situation. I know, too, that compared to many Americans, I feel very fortunate to be able to keep my current medical coverage, but cannot help but feel that the big increase in my rate is questionable at best. I think we already answered that. So, or did we? I think we answered.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. And so the point being is we answered the question, and he said any response by email would be much appreciated. But I thought it would be a good question to ask on the air as well, because to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I hope I answered that question well enough for that person. So, and thank you for asking it. I realize that it is harder when federal employees, and by the way, I'd like to thank all federal employees for their service right now. We appreciate the fact and what you do for us every day. But I realize there hasn't been an increase in their salaries for 3 years. So when you get an increase like that, it hurts. And there are other options. There is another option there for them if they want to move to the standard option. So thank you for that question. I did want to, when I was talking earlier about the quality of the care, and when we were talking about our inreach and outreach program with preventive services, I wanted to mention, I forgot to mention, that our physicians are actually salaried, and their only incentives is around preventive care. And that's different from the rest of the industry. And I'm going to look to Amy to maybe talk about the differences between the industry outside of Kaiser Permanente and how Kaiser Permanente works.
Right. So I was actually in a private practice before I joined Kaiser. And there are some subtle differences in the way that patients are cared for. And some of that is based on getting better reimbursement. So, for instance, if I saw a patient in my private practice who was in for an annual exam, but also needed something else, say she needed a biopsy, well, in my private practice, I would be able to bill more if I brought her back for a second appointment for that biopsy. So I would just do her annual exam and then schedule her to come back in a couple of weeks and do the biopsy. Because that way my practice would actually be able to bill more and get better reimbursement for that. Within Kaiser, we don't have that incentive. And in fact, our objective is to do as much for that patient on that day that we possibly can. So currently in my practice, I think as I alluded to before, if the patient needs any additional services, whether it's from me or one of my colleagues, we always try to do it same day. So really, our incentives are to take the best care of our patients in the most efficient way that we can. We don't have to worry about the way things are billed. I think for a patient, it's a great satisfier. And we're actually, we are sort of evaluated as physicians on how well we do in terms of routine health screening. So we get that feedback, and I know exactly what percentage of my patients are up to date on breast cancer screening and cervical cancer screening, and you know what ones are compliant with their hypertension medication, et cetera. So our incentive is to take the best care of our patients, and we are sort of freed from that worry about how to get the best reimbursement out of that. That makes sense.
And great comment, great lead into the next question. Who are the doctors that your members represent? That was part A of the entire question. Why not let the members see any doctor they like many other insurance programs do? So it's kind of a dual question.
Right. So, you know, our physicians, you know, come here from all over the country, and Kaiser Permanente is a really great company to work for as physicians. So most of our positions are very, very sought after. And again, we cover the range in terms of all primary physicians, so pediatrics, internal medicine, OBGYN, and then almost every specialty and subspecialty. And we've actually added a lot more subspecialists. So we now have pediatric cardiologists, et cetera. So all of the physicians are connected to each other through this electronic medical record system. So it's to a patient's advantage to stay within the Kaiser network because you get better coordinated care that way. So I can, you know, a patient walks into my office and I know their entire health history. I know what specialist they saw. I know what lab tests they've already had done, what imaging tests they've already had done. So, you know, it's to the patient's advantage as well to stay within this one system that is so connected.
You know, I'm just going to add to that, too, because people ask me this question all the time. They always want to know if they can see their own doctor. And I totally appreciate the fact that people want to be able to see their own doctor. But the Permanente Physician Group is the country's largest physician group. And there's over 1,000 doctors just here in the Mid-Atlantic states to choose from. You can change doctors at any time. But the importance of staying in our system is that we can continue to coordinate your care. So that physician decides that they want you to see an orthopedist. They're going to pull up, you know, the orthopedist's calendar right in front of you and book you that appointment. And you're going to go see that orthopedist. And your primary care physician is going to see the outcome of that visit with that orthopedist. If that orthopedist decides to send you to a physical therapist, your primary care physician and your orthopedist are working with that therapist on how your care is being delivered and if you're progressing and if you're, you know, following the steps and if there needs to be, you know, a course correction. The three of them all communicate that together. And that's what's really different about Kaiser Permanente and our ability to deliver care and quality care for our members, because outside of Kaiser Permanente, unfortunately, in most cases, once you leave your primary care physician to go to see that specialist, that primary care physician no longer knows how your care is being delivered. And in a lot of cases, once you go from the specialist to the PT, that specialist is no longer coordinating any care, and that physical therapist is on their own. And you're in charge of coordinating all those steps yourself. It's not being done for you. So I think that that's a huge strength and a benefit to our members of staying in the system.
Right.
Right before I came to the station this morning, I, of course, go to work. And I looked at the email, and there was an email from the dentist and said, you know, next Monday morning, 8, before the show, come on down. And I said, sure, I'll be there. But at the same time, I get emails from the office about things like scrape your tongue or do this or that. So it's a reminder to me, otherwise I wouldn't do some of the things. Now, do you all do electronic? I guess it'd be hard to do electronic emails on something sensitive like the client's profile or patient's profile, but do you do wellness programs either through the mail or through the emails?
Absolutely. We use email communication a tremendous amount. I use it primarily for follow-up with my patients so that, you know, it saves them a phone call or another trip to come see me, because we can communicate in terms of test results by email. I can remind patients that, yep, you're due for your mammogram, so come on in. Like I said, I can pull up my whole list of patients and I can send out a mass email to remind patients to come in for certain health screenings. My patients email me a lot about questions that they're not sure if they need to come see me, and they can describe their symptoms by email and I can get back to them. Simple things we can treat without them even coming into the office. So it saves them that, you know, time away from work. It saves them that copay. And it's, you know, for a busy physician, it's hard to field a lot of phone calls during the day. So email is great because then I can kind of get to my emails when I'm not busy with patients and answer my patients' questions and often save them a trip in. So it's a really great, easy way to communicate and for patients to follow up. They get reminders about appointments. They can look at all the appointments that they have upcoming. They can see all of their lab results. So they can start to kind of track and manage their own health. I have patients, for instance, with diabetes and pregnancy who will track their blood sugar recordings and email them to me, and I can manage their insulin doses by email without them coming into the office.
Which saves them time because they don't have to leave work to go into the office. It saves them money because they don't have to pay a copay. So it's very, very convenient. And the way it works is for a member that goes on to kp.org, they log into something called My Health Manager, and that is their access to their part of the medical record. And that's where they email their doctor. That's where they can track and chart their own lab results and so forth and order prescriptions and stuff. And we have an app for that.
Imagine
so,
that.
We have an app on smartphones now where you can email your doctor. You can make appointments for yourself. You can check and see where the nearest Kaiser Permanente location is to you, all of those kinds of things.
All right. Let's say you sign up. Somebody switches from wherever they were to Kaiser. How soon do they get into the system? In other words, if they did this on Friday, can they utilize the services Monday?
If they were a new employee, yes. But during open enrollment, it's effective for January. Huh. So, they would be able to use the system in January once they join us during open enrollment.
Okay. Open enrollment carries through the old one through the end of the calendar year.
That's correct. Yep.
Yep. Okay. So it's immediate. Mm-hmm. And technology, I think we already hit this. Are you embracing technology to help people take care of their health? I think we covered that well. Medicare plans. You get Medicare that dovetails or coordinates with. So do you have does Kaiser offer a Medicare plan?
Yes, we offer a Medicare cost plan, and the way it works is if you were to choose Part B, the Medicare plan costs no additional money, and because you're paying the premium for Part B, what they do is you keep your current FEHBP high or standard options, and we lower – and what our Medicare plan does is lower the copays on both of those options. So in the high option, for example, if you go to a primary care physician or a specialist, you'd be at a $0 copay for those services. But that's because you have Part B and you're paying that additional premium for Part B.
Okay. With regards to the coverage within a hub, if you will, the hub that we saw, it seemed to me there wasn't much you could go outside. I mean, it was all there. But maybe some of the other hubs, would they handle all the different disciplines that somebody might need? And if they don't, do you refer them out to another physician?
Right. So, most of our medical centers do have all the facilities that would be needed for a same-day visit, such as lab, radiology, et cetera. Again, the smaller centers, to see a specialist, for instance, a neurologist, ophthalmology, et cetera, are not at every location, but I can book that appointment for the patient and have it all set up for them in advance. For the rare things that we do not have a subspecialist that would handle, we do external referrals. For instance, maybe a very, very rare type of cancer, and there's an expert at Johns Hopkins, we can refer externally to our system.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair question, a good answer. And now you all have been around for a while, and tell me the history, because I remember the first show you told me the history. I had no idea. I recognized the name Kaiser, but I didn't know it was the Kaiser. So, I mean, when did it start and how did it start? Because were you the first of your type in the industry?
We were. Henry Kaiser and Cindy Garfield started the organization back in 1945. So it's more than 60 years old now. And he was a industrialist. Henry J. Kaiser was an industrialist and built dams and ships and all kinds of things. And Sidney Garfield was a physician, and Henry J. Kaiser found a need to get medical care out to his employees at the sites. And he started providing that care and realized that that was an additional cost. And, you know, in order to provide that care, he was taking like 50 cents or something out of employees' paychecks. And then they had services there for their physicians there for them on site. And it just kind of grew from there. And that was how HMOs got started.
Really? And then this is 50 cents in 1945 dollars. not today dollars. Okay. Good answer. I remember you talking about it, but I forgot that he was kind enough to want to take care of his people and then saw a way to do it as well, but inexpensively.
Yep. And it's just grown from there. And the technology continues to grow. And in fact, there is a center out in California called the Sidney Garfield Center where they practice how they want things set up in our different medical centers. Everything is done with a purpose in these hubs. They're set up in certain ways so that we can best give care and it most efficiently and with the highest quality. In fact, the Sidney Garfield Center, they can move walls around and they move equipment around, and they just, even in the operating room, to make sure that and they demo or trial, you know, a situation so that they can make sure that we're being most efficient and effective with quality care. So it's a really neat place to tour.
Okay. Now, there, you know, to be fair, you all are in the FEHB plan, but there are other HMOs in there, but I don't think a lot. We don't need to mention names. I don't like to do names, but there are others, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just this for the listening audience. And then the other question, we talk about health fairs. I mean, the health fairs are very prevalent this time of year during open season, and the different carriers come in, and sometimes they're hosted by local politicians, not because they're politicking, but it's of general interest to the public. And I've gone to a few on my side of the river in Maryland, and I know Tammy goes on her side in Virginia. And I know you go. I don't know if both of you go. But now here's the question. Give me, I won't say the top 10, give me the top three questions you get of note from the people attending the healthcare, which might help our audience. I threw you a curveball there because I didn't ask you this before.
No, that's okay.
But I was looking at the clock and I'm going, I've got a few more minutes.
Yeah, no, that's fine. People often are concerned with price. And I mentioned earlier, there's really two factors there: the cost to have it, which is your premium, and the cost to use it, which with us is only copays. Other plans have deductibles and coinsurance, but that's typically a big question. Another question is around cover, is around the am I covered if I'm in Texas or if I'm in Europe, which also we discussed earlier. You have emergency care services 24/7 worldwide. And we also have a travel benefit for federal employees in the plan as well. So if they need continuing care from the emergency, wherever they are, they can continue to get that care. And one of the other questions would be, let's see, I'm trying to think of what a third question. People actually ask a lot about dental and vision benefits. And until, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, I guess it was, the federal employees didn't have comprehensive choices between dental and vision. So a lot of the health plans, some of the health plans put a dental benefit and a vision benefit in their health plan for federal employees to have something. And we actually did that as well. So we have a built-in discount dental plan in our plan and also a discount vision plan in our plan. They're not as comprehensive as the standalone plans that a federal employee can buy with pre-tax paid dollars, but no employer contribution. So they're self-funded. The employee has to be responsible for that cost of those standalone plans. But the standalone plans are more comprehensive in coverage.
So if somebody had a plan that didn't have dental and vision, they could add on a dental and vision plan outside of their plan.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep. That's correct.
Okay, we're at 202-465-3080. Clearly, we're talking about Kaiser's HMO, but we could talk about tax or finance. The benefit questions might be tough to answer from this side of the mic anyway. 202-465-3080.
While you're giving out contact information, I'm going to share a website address for federal employees to go to if they have additional questions or want to look up any information. We have a website dedicated to federal employees at kp.org/feds. That's kp.org/feds.
And that might be Kaiser Permanente for the KP?
Yes, sir.
Boy. All right, and I'd imagine that gets a lot of hits, certainly this time of year, but the rest of the year as well. And as you mentioned earlier, now's the time to do your shopping. It's a little too late to do it after the end of December or after the first week in December. And as Walt Francis was on the show last week, and Walt writes his book, Checkbook Guide to Federal Healthcare Plans, and has been doing so for 30 years. When you're talking about saving a dollar here, you're talking about saving a dollar. It's not a tax dollar. It's a real dollar when you're shopping. And when you multiply that by the different rates that you might save or the add-on features that you can get that wouldn't cost you additional money, you really owe it to yourself to do it. That's a finance type thing, not a medical type thing. All righty, we've been doing this show for, you said, what, 7 years? We've been doing the show 8 years, so I guess we missed you the first year.
Yep, yep.
Darn it. and always great guests that you are and that you bring. Comments to the people in general, if you were to stack up Kaiser against, I won't say other HMO plans, but why would you go to Kaiser and maybe not to Plan X? We don't want to talk about Plan X. Who is your sweet spot?
Well, we have such a strong focus on our preventive care, and there's a reason we have a strong focus on our preventive care. If we can keep our members healthy, it keeps costs down as well. But the preventive care is so important to us. I'm actually going to ask. I think some of this is best told in stories. And how easy it is to get care with Kaiser Permanente. And, put the benefits and the price aside and the rates aside, because we've talked about that. We've covered that. And we've talked a lot about the care delivery. But, I'll give an example and then I'm going to pitch it to Amy to give her example too, or another example she might have of just a care delivery story. Concerning my own daughter, my 8-year-old daughter, Maddie, she had a stomach ache one Sunday night. I live in, the Crofton area, and Largo is the closest hub to me, and it's about 30 minutes. And I called the 24-hour-a-day nurse advice line that we have, and they said, we'd like to send you over to Largo, have her get looked at. And I said, well, there's an urgent care right down the street. And they said there's a good chance that urgent care doesn't have radiology or labs. And if your daughter goes there, they might send her to the emergency room. And as soon as you say emergency room to me, I'm like, don't want anything to do with that. because you don't get an appointment in the emergency room. You get there, you sign in, and then you get put on a list, and then you get trumped by obviously more important and more urgent things, which you can appreciate, but you can spend a lot of time there. So I said, okay, that makes sense to me, because I know the urgent care center at Largo has all the services that are open. It's the urgent care. It's got the physicians there. It's got the labs there, the radiology there, and the pharmacies there. So I took Maddie over there, and the doctor saw us, and sure enough, she wanted to get labs and x-rays. So we went across the hall, got the lab work done, and then went down the hall and got the x-ray, went back to the waiting room and got called back to see the doctor, and she pulled up Maddie's x-ray right in front of us in Maddie's electronic medical record, and she's showing Maddie her chest and her stomach and all this stuff. And it was just impressive that the technology works that fast. And the physician was able to determine what the issue was, wrote us a prescription, and I picked it up on the way out. I wasn't in there for an hour and a half. And all of that information was captured in the medical record. And the primary care physician followed up the next day, because when they log on in the morning, they look at their in-basket, or what they refer to as an in-basket, and they can see all the different folders, and they can see in urgent care, they had three members visit urgent care, and they can reach out to those members via email or phone or whatever they want to do and follow up with those members to continue to coordinate the care or make sure everything's okay with the care that they received. So, you know, that's a personal story, but I think that that's a pretty good story and sums up how the technology works with the physicians and the quality of the care and the caring that that they were able to give us.
Yeah.
So with that, Amy's got tons of stories. She can go all day long.
just in late last week, I saw a patient for a follow-up that I had seen initially about 6 months ago. It was the first time I met her. She was coming in for routine annual exam, early 40s, very healthy. I found a breast lump. And of course, you know, she was very concerned. And I think typically outside of Kaiser, I would have sent her out the door. She'd have had her mammogram maybe a couple weeks later and then, you know, a biopsy after that. Well, I was seeing her in the morning. They had an opening for her diagnostic mammogram that day. They saw, the radiologist called me, it looked suspicious. And can we go ahead and do the biopsy today? And I said, sure. You know, the patient really wanted to get this diagnosed in one day. So she had, you know, her exam with me. We found something. We got her over for her diagnostic mammogram, and she got her breast biopsy that day. Pathology results came in a couple of days later confirming that it was cancer, which, by then we were, had a high degree of suspicion. So I'd actually kind of preemptively already got her set up to see the surgeon. So she saw the surgeon later that week and had her surgery to remove the lump a week later. So She was thrilled that all happened in a week time span, whereas I think outside of our system, that could have potentially taken a couple of months.
All right. Now we're up against the wall time-wise. Thanks both, Amy, John, to coming in, and I know we'll see you next year, John. Yep. I don't know. Hopefully we'll see you too, Amy. So thanks for listening, and next week we're going to be on, and we're going to have Sam up, a healthcare provider under FEHB, as well as the long-term care folks. So thanks for listening. Have a nice week, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.